Hey, Joe Medina, God's not real. Oh.
Fuck you, dog.
Money draft.
All right, guys, I'm back. Sorry about
that. Oh, yeah. Thank you for coming back, asshole.
Just, you know, expanding the Magic community, introducing people to Cube, you know. It takes time.
Cube's for nerds.
Yeah, you fucking nerd, you fuck.
Money draft.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I ran out of beer, so I'm drinking white wine right now. Fuck this podcast.
Money draft.
Episode 14 of Money Motherfucking Draft. We got the motherfucking millionaires with me. This is Slick Jagger, joined by JR, the motherfucking time traveling, time elemental, Rochester Cube Master on the on the solo playing circuit.
Hey, I'm returning your permanent to your hand for a hefty price. I'm doing it.
That's very real.
I bet you thought that was going to make you sound cool, didn't you?
I was just saying some shit.
And that asshole over there is Jason Ault.
What's up, you poor fucks?
Oh, no. That's terrible. People are going to start resenting that shit, man. People are having secret resentments at this point.
Why would they resent that shit? Half the people that listen to this podcast get called bitches or fucks or something by Kevy every week, man. It doesn't matter. At least we're being honest.
Got
to
be careful.
We want our listeners to aspire to be better.
We don't want to have any like anti fans that eventually just blackmail us or anything.
Oh, we got that already.
Yeah,
sure.
Seriously.
Like, that's already a thing.
We're all dead.
It's fine.
So yeah, man, we had a I guess just to jump in, we had a pro tour recently. We haven't gotten to really chit chat since then.
Yeah, we pretty much nailed it, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, you were listening to the only podcast that liked Rakshasa Death Dealer. 75% of Brainstorm Brewery shit on that card.
Yeah, and it's not just because we desperately are trying to get KYT to let us on Man of the Prize.
That's Patreon.com. You sound like we're the one begging in those negotiations and not him.
Well, I mean, it's really our lawyers trying to figure out what his number is. You know, and then when we appear on Mana Deprived, you'll notice a couple changes because we actually had to buy the site to be on there. So, you know, I mean, KYT's had a good run with it, but I think we'll knock it out of the park. Yeah. You know, we'll keep the whole Canadian theme. You know, that's cute. You know, so we'll see. We'll see what the future holds.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the whole Batman, like, that might be a criminal organization per se, so we need to, like, you know, keep our, you know, just be careful to not go into business with a criminal, you know.
I mean, they got Kevy in a cave somewhere, probably with, like, a bunch of booze and drugs, so I mean, you know, it's not going to be that.
I'm just saying, like, vigilante Batman, you know, criminalism, not, you know, anything else like that, but, So yeah, like, the, you know, Obzan obviously was a deck. Jeskai Aggro was a deck, and that's pretty much what showed up in the top eight. You'd have the Ascendancy, where again we were like, it was a pretty good call because you were like, well, do you think, you know, the Ascendancy deck will do well? You want to bet on that being in the top eight? And I was like, maybe. I don't want to bet on it. So, you know, the fact that one showed up in the top eight, like, that's sort of a
that's real.
That's sort of a win because I thought there was like a 50% chance it might. So, but. Yeah, the combo deck was pretty real. We identified the importance of evasion. It was, and they sort of trolled when you were watching it, for the first three or four rounds, they didn't even show any coursers at all. And they made it seem like, oh my God, no one showed up with coursers. And I was sort of like, it was sort of weird. I was like, God damn it. Every time there's a fucking pro tour, they just decide to do something weird. Like everyone's, you know, everyone agrees that Courser is the best cars. Everyone's just like, oh, you know what? No one's going to play Courser now. Like, but that's not really what happened.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Courser was too good.
Resolving a Courser still feels like cheating.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine if we had Oracle Moldiah? Like,
it probably wouldn't. I don't know, dude. It wouldn't get played as a 2-2. That 4 toughness is more relevant than I gave it credit for.
I guess that's true. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really a standard player, but yeah.
A 3-mana 2-4 is quite a bit different than a 4-mana 2-2.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Dead ass. Soren showed
Siege
up.
Siege Rhino finally got there. Yeah, that was card that I felt like at those SCG events and shit the week before the PT was underrepresented. I was like, all right, I guess no one's going to play Siege Rhino. Guess I was wrong about Siege Rhino. No, I was wrong about being wrong about Siege Rhino. That card is the legit tits.
It's definitely legit. I mean, you got the Soren, which showed up a little bit more than people might have thought. People were giving you a hard time for that, but whatever, you know, it's fine. We need
to nobody who said anything about Soren on Twitter gave me shit.
We need to.
No one said anything good about it. Like, what can do? It's a bad card, I think, but like maybe Standard needs a bad card in that slot because he doesn't do anything on his own, and that's kind of how he's got a real kind of control-y ultimate, but like he doesn't play well on a control deck really because he's got no way to turn on his first ability because you're not gonna like play him and then go down to 2 loyalty to make a vampire.
A lot of people were doing that though, like they were almost like viewing it as like a 2-for-1, like a weak 2-for-1 where it's like, all right, I get this out, I get my vampire, and then I have this like husk of a planeswalker that probably, you know, there's just like upside there. But yeah, like some people were like tweeting about, oh my god, like there were more Sorens and Sarkins in the top 8, so therefore blah blah. But you need to wait for the top 16 and top 32 lists, like however many they show on Sunday. And
well, because there were more Abzan decks than red decks, yeah. Like that's confirmation bias.
So there were like in the whatever decks they showed, I think there were like 49 decks that had the sufficient record to be shown. There was like 44 Sarkins and 23 Sorens, so. It's not like, you know, Soren was completely taking over the top.
Well, I think Sarkin's going to get played in more decks. What I didn't expect was that Mardu control deck. Because Mardu did get a lot of, like, it had a lot of control stuff before. I really like Chain to the Rocks all of a sudden, you know, as a card now, as a control card.
Yeah, no, I was all over that deck because it was... you had the two like really good planeswalkers, and you also had End of Hostilities and Anger of the Gods.
And Doom, and yeah.
So yeah. It was like the one deck where it's like, oh, I could just like sweep the board all day and then just like attack with my Mistress Factory or whatever. but yeah, it didn't actually perform all that well, I don't think. The Ashcloud Phoenix was a card that I thought might see play in that deck, because if you're playing all these sweepers anyway and you get your free flyer back, that might be a good thing. So it showed up here and there. It's probably not really a thing in terms of finance at all at this point. So Elspeth, you had 57 Elspeth versus 44 Sarkins. Chandra just came in behind Soren, so you had 23 Sorens, 21 Chandras. Like Chandra was a little higher than I thought it would be. I think a lot of those Mardu decks, they were just like running it as like their card advantage kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean it's a pseudo card draw.
That's what you can do. 16 Ajani, Johnny Mentor, 16 Nissa. And then the losers on the Planeswalker side, Xenagos, which I sort of saw coming, you know, those 2/2 creatures are just not that impressive when you have in dealing with Caryatids and coursers. And then Ashiok also, like there were only 8 of them. Again, it's like sort of underwhelming. You fall behind pretty quickly with with only like that clock. So, but you know, the blue black control deck showed up, which I think was like part of the surprise in terms of upside surprise. It's like that was behind some of it. You know, you had the Perilous Fault, you had Dig Through Time, and I think in terms of like you guys on Brainstorm identified it pretty well, where like one thing to look at is, you know, the old M sets versus the stuff that's being open now. And then I think like another axis is like, you know, yeah, like, you know, people are going to have certain biases against tap out control, or not tap out control, but just like, you know, draw go control, probably more so than like the average person evaluating the card would have. So, you know, for future Pro Tours, like if you want like a point, like, yeah, like look for cards in the older sets and also look for cards that, you know, are going to, people who are into Drago control are going to come towards, like, you know, the Perilous Fall or Dig Through Time.
Yeah, Perilous Vault is a card I was pleasantly surprised to see go up.
It seemed good, but when I was thinking about Mardu control, when I thought about it, I was like, oh, I'd just rather have End Hostilities. I don't want to blow up my own Planeswalkers. But, you know, if you just want to blow up everything, it's pretty good. Prolic Ancient is also in that category of, like, finishers for these kind of draw-go decks. I think that, you know, it's already selling off. Like, I don't think it's because... You know.
Yeah, I didn't even like blink twice at that card. Like, I had to literally look it up before the podcast because I had no idea. I mean, it seems like a fucking beater if you can do it, but I just would not have called that ahead of time.
Prolic Ancient just seemed like a greater fool card to me. Like, if you got in a dollar, great, but there were people buying them at $4 or $5. I'm like, yeah, wait till some more boosters get opened. I think I don't buy any cards after the PT. I buy them before the PT if I believe in them to spec on, and then I wait weeks and weeks until I absolutely need the shit, you know, to buy to play with.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, like buying ahead of time in that sort of like good quadrant where stuff from the older sets, and also, you know, if you can identify like some biases that pro players might have. I don't know if it's fair to call them biases, if like, you know, reality is biased towards blue cards being good or whatever, but you know, that's a good place to be if you're trying to like buy cards on Wednesday versus Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
Another one, See the Unwritten, also falls into that category in terms of like, you know, you look at a new format and things I've heard pro players like Chapin say, you know, you ask yourself a series of questions, and like one of them is just like, what's the most powerful thing I can do? And See the Unwritten, you know, if you just have like any random ridiculously costed creature in your deck, like that's obviously like one of the most powerful things you can do with a reasonable amount of mana. So that also showed up a little bit.
I don't know if that's going to continue to get standard play.
Like
people were talking about like, oh, Summoning Trap. I'm like, Summoning Trap, you could put a fucking Emrakul out. I don't think there's anything I'm super excited about, but I don't know. I bought a lot of See the Unwrittens when they were cheap because I knew they would, you know, be good for EDH, and I didn't think they would go below $3, and they kind of just sat real low, and then they finally went back up, you know, with people noticing, you know, guys like John Finkel playing See the Unwritten at the PT, that really got people's attention.
Yeah, I think that's not surprising, though. Even I saw him cube draft recently, and his default, like, unpowered cube strategy is just, like, ramp, like, blue-green ramp. So I feel like if he's not super certain on a certain format, he'll just sort of gravitate towards just like do something really powerful. That's my, badly based impression.
I mean, I really like getting two triggers off that thing. It's silly in EDH, but I mean, that's no reason to buy a card a month after it's spoiled when we're at the lowest supply possible. Like I was expecting See the Unwritten to, you know, to go real cheap, and then maybe I could get cheap foils before people, you know, figure it out. But, like, it's stupid in Riku. If you copy that with Riku, you pretty much just win the game. And it's dumb to cascade into with Maelstrom Wanderer. Like, there's so many, like, green is the best EDH color, and that gives you a lot of value. And you're going to trigger the Ferocious with 90% of EDH generals, just their base power and toughness. you know, is going to trigger that for you. So it's just a very, very good card to have. And I bought a few at $3, but I was hoping that it would go lower. But you know how that works in stocks. Like if you buy a bunch at $3 and then you buy the same number at $1, you didn't really pay $3. You paid $2 for every copy. And that's better than paying $3 for every copy. So, I don't know. I kind of thought it would go down. Maybe it'll continue to get played in standard. Maybe not. But I like that its power level was demonstrated in a format that doesn't have a particularly absurd creature to hit. It was just like, I'm going to get value maybe twice. So that's cool. I really like that card in principle.
Sure. And so DC didn't really show up all that strong. There was like the whip deck, like the four whip deck. That was kind of interesting, but didn't really finish all that well. There was the Hordling Outburst deck that Brad Nelson was playing. That was pretty cool. That was one of the more surprising ones, I guess, right?
Yeah. That's cool, though.
There was the Todd Anderson deck, the Scissors deck with he was running Evasion Auras, so that was sweet. But yeah, I don't know, like the format overall, maybe it's pretty much solved, right? Like I don't know if there's a ton more to do in terms of tweaking the decks that are marginal that could just bring them up to where they can consistently beat like Abzan or Jeskai. I don't know, but format seems pretty cool, you know. I'm not shitting on the format or anything.
So did you talk about any cards that like went down from the Pro Tour?
Yeah, like Xenagos and Ashiok. Hornet Queen was like it did show up 19 times it didn't seem like it was doing work at the end. The Polokronos is also like if you looked at the top, you know, 49 decks or however many they showed, like, yeah, it showed up a decent bit, but it wasn't really doing work at the end. You know, in terms of cards that went up, you again have like Dig Through Time, which we haven't mentioned yet, but, you know, the Delve stuff was out in force again, like slight quote unquote bias by, you know, some players that just like blew and drawing cards. And that's shown itself also to, again, like we mentioned last time, it might be a staple even in, Eternal formats, and that seems to be bearing out a little bit. I did play the Treasure Cruise Burn deck, a daily Thursday night, and it didn't seem good. I kept drawing it in my opening hand, and like I would draw like two of them in my opening hand. It was just like
some. Did it make you feel like God at any point or no?
Yeah, sure. There was one game where it did. I had like multiple fetch lands and the sack a land to deal 3 damage. So that game was good, but it seemed like best. I mean, I think I would cut to 3 and maybe run it that way. I was running it at 4, and every game I wanted to cut it, but I just left it in there just to like test it, and I don't know. It wasn't that impressive. I could just be wrong. I could just not know how to play burn or something. But I was also running 12 fetch lands, which seemed decent. I mean,
yeah, I mean that is a high number of fetch lands.
Because you at that point you start to meaningfully affect the odds of you drawing gas. Like, you know, if you draw 6 or 7 cards, at some point, you know, you have 3 fetch lands in the bin, and there are only, you know, 8 non-fetches in the deck. So, but I don't know. I just I'm still skeptical that like the Treasure Cruise burn is going to be a thing.
I think the card's sweet, but yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I think it's more of a Delver card. It's definitely like Delver, that's sweet. Although I do get pained whenever I see like a blue-white Delver list that doesn't run Mana Tithe. Like,
that's fair.
There's also, I don't remember the name of it, but there's that white counterspell that puts the card on top of your library. It's like 1 white, 2 colorless.
Yeah, it's a Lapse of Certainty.
Yeah. I wish people would play that now and then. But. So that was pretty much the Pro Tour. Like, Yeah, I don't think it was that surprising. I think, and well, here's one thing I noticed, like people trying to like draft players is really fun and all, but I don't know what edge you have on that because you don't really know like who, you know, is sort of busy with their family this time or whatever. Like, I think basically if I had sort of like the data and you can just judge like trends, like who's just like trending and getting better and better, like people like Sean McLaurin or even Flock, like I think if you just had the data, you could probably just find like a pretty simple algorithm to just predict, you know, the top eights, like more so than, you know, these like maybe not Channel Fireball. Like if Channel Fireball had a draft, they had like sort of an inside view on like who was hot that quarter or whatever. But I don't know. I'm pretty skeptical of just like predicting the people in the top eight without knowing anything like that. You wouldn't already know by looking at their trend, like every pro tour they like place a little bit higher or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, think it's fun, but yeah, like nobody's like doing it like that seriously.
There's one guy, that Paul Johnson guy, he has the data, but he doesn't really, he just like kind of produces like trivia. He doesn't really like do any analysis like that. I think that could be interesting. Like, it seems like it wouldn't really work, but I feel like it could work. Like, I feel like the person who has been getting consistently better in the past 2 years, like, is gonna maybe versus John Finkel, you know, someone with just like an accumulated history, like, maybe that person who's just been doing gradually better the past 2 years is under, you know, underrated if you're just like doing a fantasy draft. So, I don't know. Seems
Maybe we do one on Money Draft next time and put some money down on it
I need
and
the data though. I need the data, man.
no, fuck you, man. Baseless speculation. We'll just pay off the players we want to win and then see who plays the best.
You know who says I need the data? A bitch, that's who.
Oh, kill him.
Also Democrats. So there might be some overlap there. I don't know, but
Are you denying that Democrats are bitches?
I don't want anything to do with this discussion anymore.
Republicans are the ones that don't want data, right? I thought that was.
Yeah, Democrats have reality on their side and they still can't fucking get shit done
Yeah.
in midterm elections. So, yeah, they're bitches.
Republicans, like, if they seem to be inscrutable, you just need to, like, replace everything they say with no new taxes because fuck you. And then everything makes sense. So.
I can get behind that as a money draft millionaire. Taxes are heavy on my mind at all times.
I mean, it's real, dog.
You
It's
would
messed
not
up.
believe what we pay in taxes here on the money draft.
So goddamn much. More than probably like three listeners' yearly salaries in taxes.
I think the Republican Party's tax strategy is way too liberal. We need something. We need something just for money draft millionaires.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if
Even
I.
with these, even with these Cayman bank accounts, it's still so hard.
They got rid of the double Irish. That's bullshit.
Yeah, I need double tax inversion.
Yeah.
Well, that's just rich people problems.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Offensive MTG for that token. That was pretty sweet.
I mean, it was hilarious, but. It was pretty offensive.
Yeah, you definitely got the worst of it. Like, you look like a
Yo, fuck you, dog. My mullet was strong.
That's just such a it's such a weird rendering of me. I'm like, why am I not in this token?
Yeah, at first I
It
was
took me
like,
a minute. I was like, wait, that's me in the
yeah,
back.
it was the same
Ah,
thing. I was like,
fuck.
oh, hey, it's like just two wrestling guys. Oh, one of them is Steve. Oh, wait.
Oh, goddamn it.
At first, I saw it. I was like, "Jason, you motherfucker!" And then I realized, oh, well, it's actually pretty fucking good. Like I was talking to Alt before the cast, and I was like, "Yeah, man. Like, it'd probably be way easier to get angry at if the Photoshop job wasn't so on point." But like he definitely did a really good job with that.
Your Photoshop job was really good. Mine was
no, because I went because I looked at that and I was like, that's got to be from Awkward Family Photos. So I actually found the original, and like he did an unreal job putting our faces in that fucking stupid ass picture.
So shout out to Offensive MTG Jason.
Yeah, maybe, you know, after we get our ideal tokens out there to the world, you know, maybe like as like an anniversary thing or something, we'll get those printed out because they're really good, man. And when Jack LaCroix said like those would be his Ponyback Brigade tokens, I fucking died. But that was hilarious.
I got to thinking about hypocrisy and stuff, and I don't know, like, what's it like? We're going to have a lot of religiously offensive stuff on the token. So like, where do you draw, like, last episode we were saying, like, oh, you know, like, you shouldn't have, like, sexual stuff on tokens because it's just not a good environment and people didn't sign up for that. But is there a line where, like, you know, John Medina would come in with his children? Not that he has children yet, but, I mean, he does. But he'd be like, oh, man, this isn't cool, guys. Like, you're just offending me with your, you know...
I mean, I don't know, man. It's not anti-religion if we have the Shroud of Turin as a tablecloth, okay?
Like, probably somewhat.
Somebody might be a little upset about it, whatever.
And we're also ashing in the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, but, you know, it is what it is, man. Like, it's just, it's money draft, baby. We own all that. You know, it's our property. What's I don't see the problem here.
I'm just saying, I don't want to be hypocrites, like, you know.
I didn't say anything.
Okay, all right.
I keep myself out of these discussions about morality, all right?
Yeah, we just like, let you bury yourself.
I just pour gasoline on the fire.
Yeah.
We just let you talk, and then you keep, like, backpedaling and stuff. It's real funny, man.
Yeah, I know, but I edit it out. Like,
yeah, and it's one thing. I think the thing for me, it's like, what's one thing if you're just like a woman and you don't want to be reminded about sex, like when you're just in a room, you know, with a bunch of guys mostly, and you don't want to think about, you know that they are thinking about sex or something. That's just kind of weird. But you know, if you just believe false shit, you shouldn't be believing that false shit. And you know, if you're offended, then you know, need to reevaluate.
That's fucking deep, yo.
No, I understand that it's about like you know, techniques for living well or whatever, but it does sort of irk me when people just like say false shit, like false sentences per se on Twitter. It's just like, all right, Medina, like you're just tweeting something about God that, you know, there's no, you just decide whether it's true or false, I guess. So it's true for you, I guess.
Is quality radio.
Yeah, you're going deep right now. I didn't know the Offensive MTG token thing on the docket was gonna end up here.
Yeah, when he did those tokens of us, I really got thinking about how God is total bullshit. The people that believe in it are such fucking assholes.
When I saw that token, it just reaffirmed my belief that God doesn't exist.
That was my real train of thought. We were talking about those tokens last week and how, like, you know, it's offensive. Like, maybe we would offend people, their religion, and then I didn't really care because, you know, you need to back off saying shit that isn't true just because you decide that it's true per se as such.
Jesus Christ. So another thing that happened recently was the the announcement was made at the Pro Tour, correct? About FNM, or was that like?
Yeah, it was at the Pro Tour.
It was at the Pro Tour. Yeah, so I think that's fucking sweet, man. It's like, it's a stupid rule, and I think that it's gonna help both like really, really developed, you know, communities like the game store here in Philly, where, you know, they're. We have regularly like 40 plus people come to FNM every week, and there's a good meta and everything. Like, it'll help us because, you know, they'll get to mix it up. And it also helps stores that have smaller communities because, you know, if all seven people that come to FNM want to play one thing, it doesn't matter what it is, they can play it now. And I think that's pretty fucking awesome. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I don't know how like much it'll be realized, but I guess if there's a will, there's a way in, you know, certain cases. But
I want to play Vanguard.
Yeah.
It's all about that Hannah Ships Navigator, bitches.
Do the damn thing, man. You can do it now.
Yeah.
Nobody's trying to hold you back.
I said in my QS article, there's a non-zero chance that Vanguard cards could go up a little just because they're pretty rare. And I could see a store just dropping $25 on a set of them just to have them in the store and be like, all right, you know, pay an extra dollar for FNM to play this Vanguard tournament and you can rent one of them from the store. Or they give them out randomly and you build around it. Like, there's all kind of cool ways to do that. So I don't think this will replace Standard as an FNM format. I think it'll supplement it.
Yeah, because, like, there's stores that...
They'll do just two formats.
Yeah, like, my store already runs multiple formats every FNM. So, like, it just expands the options. Like, you can do a lot of cool shit.
So, and that would be good for stores that are getting, like, over 32 people for FNM also. Because if you can get those, you know, 32-plus people spread out over two events, you could cut a whole hour off of FNM. Which would be good. Like, there's a lot of cool, like, people that play Two-Headed Giant might not even come to the store for FNM. And now those people would come to the store, you know, on Friday night and get used to the store, spend some money. Trade with some people, be part of the community a little bit more. Like, FNM's pretty casual, but like, there are some people for whom FNM is not casual enough, and this might get them in stores, which would be cool because I know that they're still coming to the shop, just not on Friday.
Dude, if there was ever a Two-Headed Giant FNM, I would be all about it. All about it.
I don't know if FNM would be casual enough for me. Based on the format change, but...
Based on how many players go, because if JR plays Magic with more than four people, it just freaks out.
Dude, I
need one more person for Rochestering my cube. All right, how many people are in this event? Oh, just me.
I don't know what it is.
I need one more person.
I was playing grindy matches with my friend Ben all weekend. We were Rochestering my cube, and I don't mind long, grindy matches. They're pretty sweet, like when you're just at home chilling out, but I don't know. At an FNM in a public place, I don't know. Just want to finish up. And...
It's not awful to play long grindy matches against people you don't hate.
It's not that I hate people. It's just I don't
know. Well, that's what I was.
I'd rather like just have 20 minutes between my matches. Well, actually, here's the one thing: like people bitch about Moto. The only thing that pisses me off about Moto is like when people double queue, so they don't start playing. Like they have a fast deck, and then they don't start playing until like, you know, 12 minutes in or something, so you just have to like stand there for 12 minutes and then, you know, as opposed to like having free time at the end of the match.
This is 2008 where JR complains about double queuing on Moto.
It's a thing
that happens when you play Moto, is all I'm trying to say. Like, some dickheads double queue, and you know what? Moto allows them to do it if they time out.
I'm saying, of all the things that piss people off about Moto, like, I'm probably still the only person where, like, that's my main thing. It's just like, ah, this is why I don't go to the store. I don't want to waste, like, 15 minutes just standing around.
Oh, God. Just work on the docket, man. If you're ever playing against somebody that's double queuing, just work on the docket.
As long as like... The database, like if they just like lost the database and it was corrupted and like they lost your collection, like that would be bad.
Yeah, that would be really shitty, dude.
Oh, I feel like, man, it's within their reach. I don't know. Probably not. That might be the one thing. Even then, I would just be like, all right, I guess I'll just like draft. Even that, I wouldn't leave. Even if my whole collection just got erased and they were like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Like, all right, I'll just draft now online. It's fine.
It's fine. Oh, man. So are you guys, I mean, I know it's like Sunday afternoon, but are you guys drinking anything?
Yeah, yeah. We're drinking crappy filler beer. My friend Ben was over, like I mentioned, and, you know, just finishing up some of the filler beer. I got some Beck's here.
Oof. That's some filler beer.
I am drinking Dark Horse from Marshall, Michigan, Scotty Karate, which is their Scotch Ale. It is very smooth and delicious. Scotch Ales are, you know, nice and they're not too hoppy. They're more malty, and I think they're smooth and real nice drinking. Arcadia does a good Scotch Ale also in Battle Creek, Michigan. So I'm super spoiled where I live, but yeah, Scotty Karate's a good Scotch ale, and Dark Horse does some very good stuff. And I think they had a reality show at one point about the Dark Horse Brewery. I'm not really sure.
They put out really good beer.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Their Sapient Trip's real good. It's a Belgian style triple. It's like 14%. Just don't drink the last swig of it. Just
I was
going to
say, a 14% triple has got to be a little thick.
Yeah, just leave that last sip alone. It'll make you gag. It's too sugary. But all that sugar is necessary for the fermentation process to make that much alcohol.
Yeah.
You need to really, you know, feed that yeast. So
That's why when you have high ABV IPAs, you're like, this is like sweet as fuck. It's because you actually have to add a metric butt ton of sugar to get any beer over 12%. But yeah, I'm actually having a Michigan beer right now, the Founders Centennial IPA, because it's one of the few things I can get a suitcase of in West Philly. So a suitcase is like a 12-pack with a handle, because the Pennsylvania beer laws are fucked and it's not even worth really going into.
You think you would just buy beer in Delaware when you go there every day to work?
Yeah, I know, but I like take the train to work, and it's a pain in the ass to like go to the beer store and then walk back to the train and take it, then walk the 13 blocks to my house, and that's, you know, that is what it is.
Yeah, my friend
Ben is what it is.
Likes crap beer. And I wanted to get some IPA before, but he was like, no, let's just get this, like, pumpkin ale, like, here. It was just bad. It tasted like piss with some pumpkin flavor in it. It is hard to drink the IPA, like, all day, you know?
I don't know about that.
You could drink a Founders All Day IPA, which I think is better than the Centennial. So you could drink that all day.
Yeah, like, that's the reason why I don't want the all-day IPA, because you got to drink, like, fucking 10 of them.
I don't know.
Yeah, man. Centennial's a good choice. Founders does quite a few IPAs. Well, they're known for their stouty beer,
yeah.
But they do quite a few different types of IPA, and they're all pretty decent.
Like the total fucking piece of shit that I am, I got brunch this morning, because I get brunch all the time, because I'm a fucking baller. And
I think the word baller is weak.
Right?
Like, I know you're not weak, Steve, but I think in general in the Magic community, like, people should just stop using the word baller. It's like,
well, you know what? Don't fucking use this opportunity of me fucking expressing how awesome I am to fucking show your gripe about some word, dog.
Sure, sure.
All right, I'm just trying to flaunt right now. I'm trying to talk about my brunch right. Where I had some
enjoyment. Tell us about your brunch.
We'll get back to that after you finish.
No, I had a couple pints of Enjoy By, the Halloween one on tap from Stone Brewing, and I know I talked about it on the other podcast because I had a bottle of it. But Jesus Christ, man, when that beer is on draft, it is so good. Oh, it's like nectar of the gods. It's very
you got that brief window to enjoy. It's called Enjoy By because they put a date on the label, telling you should enjoy the beer by this date. And it's not quite as good after that date. So it's got a real, real short window. It's something like a month, I think, they give it before they tell you not to drink it anymore. So it doesn't really sit in your fridge for that long anyway, because it's a real good beer.
No. Yeah. If you're waiting to drink that, you're a fool.
Yep. From the Stone Brewing Company. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had some of that in Worcester. It's pretty good. When we saw Ari Lax... And he disrespected you, Jason.
Oh, geez. There was no disrespect.
There was no acknowledgement of my existence.
No. If he'd thrown something in your direction, if he'd made, like, a fecal throwing motion with his hands at you, that would have been something, but nothing.
That's all right.
Yep.
I'm good with all that shit, that Ari Lax stuff. If he wants to do that, that's fine.
Why are we still talking about it?
I imagine it feels bad to be on the other side, but you know what?
It's going to come out that he didn't even see me. like the light was like on my face or something. And he didn't see me at all. And he's like, why is he hating me secretly? I'm not mad at you, Ari. I almost sort of stuck up for you in QS in an article I wrote saying it's ridiculous that everyone's calling Ari Lax a dick for like flipping his Zergo at his at who was that, Watanabe or
yeah
it was Yuya Watanabe.
That's also stupid, man. He that fucking should have done that shit.
He was waiting for a fucking white mana for 30 turns. Like, you would never windmill a top deck like that.
Oh my
that.
God, I would fucking stand on my chair and fucking air hump the guy.
Right?
Seriously.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah. It's not like he listens to the show, but you know, maybe someone will, you know.
He doesn't even acknowledge that the people who are on the show exist. I don't think he listens.
Someone will probably like, you know, message him like saying that like, oh, these guys were shit talking you on their show, you know.
No way, I'm not shit talking him. I think everything he did was fine. Oh, he was too rough when he shuffles opponent's deck. I'll get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
there are people that are doing like legitimately awful, inconsiderate, rude shit in this community.
It's not like he's Bertoncini or something, you know. He's just like constantly angle shooting, paying the wrong mana and stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's a jealousy component to it. And I think Ari Lax is a little bit unlikable. And I think if he were less unlikable, nobody would have said anything about anything he did.
Sure.
I think if they liked him going into the PT, if Reed Duke had done all that shit, it would have been a non-issue. And I think without excusing anything Ari did, I think we can just point out that there's a slight amount of hypocrisy there. And that's really all I wanted to say about it was like, if it hadn't been Ari who did that stuff, people wouldn't care. But since some people already thought Ari was unlikable going into it, you know, they're going to construe everything he does as the worst way possible. And I think that's hypocritical of people.
Sure. I didn't realize how young he was. He's like 24, 25, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's ridiculous. He
and Kyle Bogomis were like 12, 13 when I was, you know, grinding a lot. And, man, they were both just like wunderkind. So, like, Pat Chapin, Mark Herberholz, Michael Jacob, all those guys sort of mentored those two guys. And they, like, Kyle Bogomis was winning states at like 13. Like, you know, they're both just phenomenal players, and they, you know, are mentored by some of the very best players ever. So Team RIW out of Livonia, Michigan is just, it just shits out pros. That's just, it's a great store. Their owner, Pam's a wonderful person. They're very competitive, and, you know, some people are like, they're dicks, but I mean, really, they're just putting together champions. And Ari was one of their, you know, earliest protégés. So he's been playing good Magic pretty much his whole life. So it's good to see him finally get that PT win.
Yeah, I was rooting for him because I wanted like a green deck to win. But yeah, he's been in the game like since I started paying attention again in like late 2009, early 2010. Yeah, he's just always been like a player. It was a little surprising to find out he was that young. But yeah, so I guess I won that bet, Steve. So you
man, I'm still looking for a timestamp from you. I want to re-listen to it. I'll pay up.
It doesn't matter anyway. Like, you owe me an additional 20. You already owe me some money, so it's basically all zero anyway.
Oh God. Well, you know what? I'm gonna see you next weekend, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, Mark and Frankie.
Yeah, we got Eternal Weekend and Angelo.
Oh shit, yeah. He's coming over.
Yeah, so it's at the house is gonna be me, you, and Martin and Frankie and Angelo.
Nice.
Yeah. Sad you're not gonna make it, Jason, but we got
soon enough.
Yeah, let me finish talking about, so Eternal Weekend is well, actually this episode will probably come out like right before Eternal Weekend. So that'll be fun. It's in Philly at the Convention Center. If any of you guys that are listening want to fucking meet up, definitely let us know on Twitter if you're going to make it out to do some Vintage or Legacy. Hopefully, you know, there's a couple of you you peasants that, you know, can afford those decks.
That, oh, here's the deal. If it's travelable and you got nothing compelling to do, you should go. Just because an event at the Philadelphia Convention Center with the market across the street, getting to hang out with a couple of the Money Draft millionaires, just go to stuff if you can go, right? Like, even if you don't have a legacy deck or a vintage deck, just go hang out. That's really something I encourage. I haven't played at the last 10 GPs I've gone to. I have not played in the main event. It's just, Philly's a great town. It's a great town to have a GP or, you know, Eternal Weekend in. We have events there for a reason. So just if you don't have a reason not to go, you should go. It's not going to cost you $1 million.
There's a reason why we got Eternal Weekend.
Yeah. Like,
but yeah, so that's going to be a fucking blast. But, you know, not long after all the shenanigans that are going to go down, I mean, then we're going to fall into the monstrosity of madness that is GP New Jersey coming up.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to – I have my Infect deck together, but I don't know if I'm going to be playing.
In New Jersey or an Eternal Weekend?
Or either. Yeah, exactly.
They won't let him register his cube for the event. Would you play an event with, like, your cube as your deck?
That would be
awesome.
I thought, like, TSG's idea about, like, oh, if I play, I'll just, like, you know, draft a deck out of my cube and play that. Like, that's kind of interesting. But yeah,
here's what you do. You just put a copy of Battle Awaits in your cube and then just shuffle it up.
Yeah.
I would love to see somebody do that.
Well, we got Marcel coming over, right? You convinced him to get a flight out here.
Oh, for the GP, yeah. Yeah.
So we've got a good crew going on.
Yeah, that's worth it, man. Like, I think, I don't know. I mean, like, when Marcel said he was coming, I was like, wow, that's awesome you're coming. But, like, I probably wouldn't recommend that of, like, an East Coast GP to go to because it's in the middle of fucking nowhere. And then he was like, oh, no, Jason said we're going to hang out in Manhattan. And I was like, oh, you're going to come hang out with us. Awesome. Like, yeah. It's actually going to be fun then.
It's not that convenient, though, like, but.
No, fuck it. But we're not playing.
Yeah, if we don't need to get
there. We go to the event one day. Yeah. Just hang out, say what's up to people.
Just to get a mat and some sleeves.
Yep.
Boom.
Hang out in New York, have some fried chicken, some pastrami meat.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to eat, all right. Oh, man. That'll be a blast. So, I don't know. We got to see. I mean, I think everybody and their fucking mother is going to go to GP New Jersey, so who knows?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. My friend Ben was, like, wanting to sell his legacy cards, and I was like, well, you might want to wait at least a few more months. Like, I don't know. I could see something stupid going on there.
Yeah, you should offer to fucking take him to the event and get him priced out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you should sock him in the bull bag.
Although,
yeah, if, punch him right in the dick, man.
So, like, if legacy cards don't go up into GP New Jersey and they actually, like, start to go down a little bit, that's a strong signal that something could be troubling there. Like,
that's going to be real surprising. I fully expect dual lands for at least a month following GP New Jersey to just disgust everybody.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, for about a month after GP New Jersey, you're going to see the price tag on dual lands and just go, ugh. Magic is ruined forever, is what you'll say. I think it'll be temporary, but I think it'll be super disgusting nonetheless.
But if you don't see, you know, it's like a finance thing, like, if something should happen and it doesn't happen, that's a good tell that, you know, the tide may be turning against you.
Or maybe, like, just a higher price is just not going to be sustained by the market. Because you could price people out of the format entirely. And when you price people out, that is going to reduce demand because people are going to get the impression that they just can't play Legacy. It's just not for them. They don't have enough bankroll. They didn't get in at the right time. And they'll just give up on it. And that'll reduce demand, which will, you know, reduce the prices a little bit.
There are certain cards, we'll see what happens. Like the foil, the Judge Promo Noble Hierarch, that I think could still go up. Like, that card has a miserable spread, but in terms of its retail price, there aren't that many out there. And, you know, it's an old border foil. It's double foil. So it has like the old border foil. And also the picture is foiled, unlike the old cards, because it's a judge foil. There's only like 5 of them on TCG. And I don't know if people are going to be playing Infect or whatever. It's not necessarily the kind of deck where you're like, all right, I'm going to be playing this for a long time. But if just like a few people decide to pimp out their cards, it's also in, the Ascendancy combo in Modern, and it just hasn't been reprinted in a while. And even if it is reprinted, it's probably not going to be reprinted in, you know, old border foil. So I don't know. The fact that like the Cryptic Command has gone up $20 in the past week or whatever, like the FNM or the player rewards textless Cryptic Command, which is like pretty ugly, really.
Yeah, like, it's ugly, and it's the worst idea for a card ever.
Yeah.
If that's, like, if you'd have told me like what card would be the worst possible choice for a judge or like for a player rewards thing, I'd be like, what card has the most text on it right now in all of Standard? Someone would have said Cryptic Command. I'd be like, all right, do a Texas Cryptic Command.
Yeah. Just put
it's
like
got a 4 modes. Why not? Yeah, that's real silly.
An ugly like claw art on it too. Just make it suck as much as it can.
It is a foil playable
Cryptic Command. So.
When Modern Masters was spoiled in like, you know, March 2013, I just immediately dumped them at like $25 or something. I was just like, yeah, get this shit out of here.
Yeah,
that's how smart I was.
Well, I mean,
so smart.
We didn't really expect Modern Masters to not do anything to the prices on some of those cards. So,
especially the rares. But yeah, like I think Noble Hierarch. I mean, it's a sweet card. You know, you don't find that. It's just not going to be reprinted in that form. So, I don't know. It's just weird when people are buying certain cards and you're like, well, that seems like clearly inferior to, like, you know, if you like that card, why don't you like this card? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you can't try to justify people in Magic making decisions. Like,
it's impossible. Like, no one is smart enough to figure out how dumb other people are, you know?
Nobody is smart enough.
To calibrate, like, the exact calibrated level of how dumb they are, you can't get there.
Yeah.
But our listeners wouldn't know anything about that, because they're all smart people. That's why they're listening to the best podcast in the game.
Where we, like, perfectly predicted the top 8 of the Pro Tour.
Fuck yeah, we did.
So easy to figure out. I figured out the format like weeks ago just by myself. Pretty much.
All right, well, I think we've totally just dirtled our way through this, and we've only recorded for like 50 minutes.
We should write our sitcom. We just need to try.
I mean, it'd be better than Mulaney.
Yeah. I think it would have to be about like single, like, or people just like people without kids. Like, I sort of want to, like, I just, like, too phony for me. I can't write a sitcom where they have kids. Like, I feel like that would be a phony. But if they don't have kids, if they're just like degenerate bachelorette kind of people.
Anti-social shit in the city.
Yeah, how hard could it be? Like, it's just be easy.
Apparently, it's tough to write a good sitcom. No one's done it in years.
That's like the working name for it is anti-social shit in the city.
There you go.
Oh man. Let's get this fucking thing out.
You sound so fucking unhappy to be alive right now.
Can we talk shit about religion more?
If you must.
I mean, if we're going to alienate somebody, it should be John Medina, who's no longer a member of this community.
It's a good, yeah. It's consistent with my strategy.
Oh, God.
It does bother me, like, don't be writing shit on Twitter that isn't technically true.
What did he say? What the fuck?
Just tweeting like shit about God and stuff, and it's just like, fuck off, bro. Like, it's not cool. You can't just like sit there and like revel in the you know, metaphorical depth of it. It's not deep. It's just bullshit.
Yo, do you have a Facebook account?
I do. Yeah, it's just I don't do magic shit with it, but yeah.
Like, who are you friends with on Facebook? Because like, it sounds like you're just like pissed off, but with like somebody being normal and like weird, like just like the general level of bullshit that everyone has to deal with knowing normal people.
No, it's
you
not.
Know why I hate religious people because they're fucking Vorthos people, but it's Vorthos about like they're insisting that magic's real.
Yeah, it's not like someone's parent dies and they like say something religious, you know, it's different from like someone every morning posting like some obscurantist shit that sounds deep.
Dude, why do you follow his personal account?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a magic account and a personal account. Why do you follow the personal one?
He doesn't have magic. It's just his personal account now, but I don't know. Yeah, cool dude. Okay, I like him. But I like him, but
you obviously don't like him, yo. You know? Like, just stop. Yo, I never followed his personal account. Like, when he left the game, like, I never followed him.
A good rule of thumb is anytime somebody capitalizes the H in him and it's not the first word of a sentence, you don't want to read anything that person's going to write.
Yeah. I feel like I need to counter-evangelize him, though.
Oh, shit.
Like, I just need to, like, set him on the right course. Like, yo, dude, you're too smart for this bullshit. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of cool, like, saying stuff that's false when you think you can just, like, bullshit people. But after a while, like, you can't be, like, a total flake like that, you know?
I don't know, man. I got lots of friends who are not religious and lots of friends who are religious. And I only know one guy who's cheated on his wife. And it wasn't any of my atheist friends. I'm just going
to
put it that way.
I mean, to be honest, like, I have, like, built up stereotypes of, like, and, like, more, like, I don't know. I don't have that many observations, but religious people tend to be a little more flaky in my experience where, like, they'll just, like, suddenly make radical life changes and you're just like, oh, okay. All right. Well, cool. Like, on the surface, they seem healthy for them, but I don't know. This is money draft.
This
is money draft.
We talk about serious community building issues.
We should talk about something serious after this, so Steve has to wade through all of that.
Nah.
We should just talk about horrible shit, but bury like a good gem in there that he's got to fucking go in and find. I don't know why we're trolling the guy that is willing to do all the editing on our podcast, but it's kind of funny to me.
think it's going to be good for me getting the podcast edited fast, because we're going to have a lot of downtime, but we shall see.
Money.
I want to insult everybody that listens to this podcast. I think they're all fucking nerds.
Yeah, I think I should have insulted more people last time.
Hey, you should have, man. I established myself as the insult leader.
No, well, you guys all look, Steve was obviously like just taking it down.
I mean, we were both talking shit, man. You were just like worried about offending people.
Was I?
No, JR.
Oh, yeah.
I was worried about offending people too much.
Yeah.
Like, we were going to offend people a little bit, but I was like, I don't know.
People don't have feelings, man.
They're going to start to, like, money. Who else can we talk shit on?